You're listening to this week's sermon from Saanich Baptist Church in Victoria. To watch the sermon online or for more resources, head to saanichbaptist.org. Have a great week.
Good to be with you today, even if it's by live streaming, but we are thankful to be with you and to be able to share with you today, and I just want to continue our time together in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Father, thank you that your love really does awaken us. Father, thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. Thank you that you are a faithful God, and you are a God who is here. And I pray today as we look at this amazing passage of Scripture that you will speak to us, that we will have ears to hear what your Spirit wants to say to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. At the beginning of the book of Revelation, John has been arrested, and he's sent to the island of Patmos because he refused to worship Caesar. And while on that island, Christ followers were being persecuted. Here's John, he's on this island, he's in prison. Meanwhile, the Christ followers that he loves, that he's been leading, they're being persecuted, they're being harassed, they're losing their homes. Some are even being killed. And I'm sure as John sat there on that island, he was wondering to himself, where is Jesus in all this? And in the midst of all of that, John had a vision. It's a powerful vision of who Jesus is in the present. Now, just a word before we jump in and Christina comes and reads Scripture for us. The book of Revelation is apocalyptic literature. And apocalyptic literature seeks to show us that things are not only as they seem, that there's more to life than meets the eye. Also, apocalyptic literature has fantastic imagery, as we're about to see. And it tells us in Revelation 1 that one Sunday, while John was worshiping in the power of the Holy Spirit, he heard a voice behind him. And he turned to see who was speaking. And what he saw changed him. And it's my prayer today that what we see in this vision will change us. Christina, one of our pastors, is going to come and read Scripture for us. Chris, come and read.
Reading from Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches.
What I want to do today is simply work through that vision with you, looking at each part of it because it is so beautiful, so amazing, so impactful. It starts this way. It says, when John turned, he saw seven golden lampstands. And in verse 20 of chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, we read that the seven lampstands are the seven churches. The image of a lampstand would have reminded the seven churches of their calling to be a light to the world. And that's a good reminder to us too, as Christ followers, as churches, we're called to be a light to the world, a city on a hill that shines brightly for Jesus. And among the lampstands, catch that word, among. Christ was in the middle of the lampstands. He was right there, in other words, in the middle of the churches, and he still is today. As Christ followers gather to worship, Jesus is present and active amongst us. That is one of the unseen realities of the present. Jesus is here. Even though we're online, as we gather online, Jesus is present amongst us. And then it says, among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. Jesus was referring here to a figure in the great vision that God gave the prophet Daniel hundreds of years before. The vision is recorded in the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 7. And in that vision, the phrase, one like a son of man, is referring to the central figure in all of history. A pre-existent heavenly being whose kingdom cannot be destroyed, whose dominion will not pass away, who has all authority, glory, and power, who will one day be worshipped by all. And who is this one like a son of man? It's Jesus. The primary title Jesus gave himself in the Gospels is Son of Man. He's the commanding, redeeming, glorious figure that John saw. The next thing that caught John's attention was the way Jesus was dressed. It says in this vision he was dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet. In the Bible, only two types of people wore that kind of robe. A priest who held the highest religious office and a king who held the highest political office. The robe John saw on Jesus was the robe of a priest. And in the Old Testament, a priest was a mediator, a bridge builder, someone who brought God to the people and the people to God. Jesus is our great high priest. He's the greatest bridge builder of all time. The one through his life and death and resurrection and ascension bridged the chasm between God and humanity. And notice something in the vision. Jesus had a golden sash around his chest. When a sash was around your waist in those days, you were still working. When a sash was worn across your chest, you were resting. Your work was done. It was complete. And John here was being shown that the high priestly work of Jesus was finished. All that needed to be done for humanity to have a restored relationship with God, to live an abundant life here and now, and to spend eternity with Jesus was done. It's finished. It's complete. This is also the robe of a king. John was also being shown that Jesus, our great high priest, is also our king. a king enthroned above all, excuse me, above all other kings. It says in Revelation 1:5, Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And the day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the King. Let me ask you today, have you ever acknowledged that? Have you ever acknowledged that Jesus is your King? That he's your Lord? Have you ever surrendered to him? Have you ever thanked him for the work he has done and accepted the work he has done as our great high priest? He's our priest and he's our king. And then the vision goes on. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. These are the words that were used to describe the Ancient of Days in the book of Daniel again. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, it says this. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. Ancient of Days is a name for God in the book of Daniel. The word ancient indicates God existed before time. The white clothing and the white hair, they symbolize God the Father's purity and sinlessness. In the vision John saw, Jesus was like the Ancient of Days. He existed before time. As John said at the beginning of his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the word there means Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He existed before time. Jesus is also the pure and sinless one, just like his Father. And then John, describing this vision, says his eyes were like blazing fire. In the Bible, fire is often used as an image for that which purifies. We see in this image, Jesus is not only pure, he is also purifying. Just like fire illuminates and penetrates, so too the purifying gaze of Jesus can look into our deepest places. It can penetrate behind the mask that we tend to wear. It can illuminate all the stuff that is damaging our lives. Fire also burns away impurities. Jesus not only wants to look deep into our souls, he wants to set us free by burning away that which is stopping us from living the life he has for us. Let me ask you today, are you willing to let Jesus do that in your life? Are you willing to let him gaze into the deepest places, deep in your soul? Are you willing to let him set you free from those things that are stopping you from living the life he wants you to live? Are you willing to open yourself up to his gaze? And then it says this, his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. The reader who knew, again, the book of Daniel and Old Testament would get the point of that in a second. In another vision given to King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, in the book of Daniel, all the human kingdoms of ancient history were represented by a huge statue. The image itself was magnificent. It was constructed of precious and strong metals, but it was set on a base that was flawed. The feet of the statue were a mixture of iron and clay, and iron and clay do not make a good bond. That amazing statue representing all those ancient kingdoms was set on a weak foundation. The vision in Daniel is telling us that the kingdoms and the powers of this world, no matter how awe-inspiring, no matter how amazing, no matter how impressive and powerful, are set on a base that is flawed, that will one day collapse. And notice, in John's vision, in the book of Revelation, Jesus had feet of bronze. Bronze was the strongest metal of the day. The glorified Son of Man had feet of bronze. In other words, his kingdom is set on a strong, firm, unshakable foundation, one that will never collapse. Other kingdoms are going to come and go, but his kingdom will remain forever. And then it says his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. His voice was like the sound of water cascading over rocks, thunderous and mighty and powerful. In John's days, there were all kinds of voices calling Christ followers to bow to Caesar as Lord. And yet the call to Christ followers in that day was to listen to Christ's voice above all others. And that's our call today. That's our call today as well. We live in a day of distractions. We live in a day when many things are calling to be our God. Many things are seeking to speak into our lives. And yet what we need to do today is we need to listen to Christ's voice and Christ's call above all the other noise. We need to listen to his voice above all other things. And then it says, in his right hand he held the seven stars. Most scholars feel that there's a dual meaning here. In verse 20 of chapter 1, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. That is one meaning. But there's another meaning. And that is the seven stars represented the seven known planets in the first century. And back in the first century, people thought that all of life was under the sway and control of the seven known planets. People believed that their lives were controlled by these planets, and so they were constantly consulting the astrology tables. And knowing where the people were at, the Roman emperors asserted their supposed cosmic rule by surrounding their thrones with stars and with planets. Also, in Greek mythology, there was a goddess who held the seven stars, and that goddess said, I'm the beginning and the end. And here God pulled back the curtain and showed John what was actually true. Jesus was the one holding the seven stars, not the Greek goddess. The fact was the stars and the Romans and the Greek gods didn't control life. Jesus did, and he still does. Jesus is the Lord of the cosmos. And then John says, out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. John here used the metaphor of a sword here to demonstrate what takes place when Christ speaks. His words of truth can go right into your soul, cutting you loose and setting you free. And then John says his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Can't you just feel that John is reaching here for some way to convey the unconveyable? John was attempting to describe the glory of Jesus. It was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. It was awe-inspiring, but you couldn't really look at it. Here's John. He's on Patmos. He hears a voice and he turns around and he sees this incredible vision of who Jesus is in the present. And look at his response, verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Wouldn't you? If God suddenly pulled back the curtain for us right now, and we saw Jesus as he is in the present, like John did, we would fall on our faces in worship. If each of us could get a glimpse of the magnificent, awe-inspiring reality of who Jesus is, it would transform us. And then John says this, look at verse 17 and 18, I love this. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I was alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades. Christ's right hand, the one that holds the seven stars, reached out and touched John. Isn't that awesome? Jesus, the majestic one, is not aloof. He reached out and he touched John. And I believe he wants to reach out and touch each one of us. And then Jesus said this to John. He said, John, don't be afraid. He was basically saying this to John. John, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and see, I'm alive forevermore. And John, remember death and Hades, the ultimate enemy of humankind. John, you can stop being afraid of them because I have won. I have the keys. I've stripped death and hell of its power. John, I have the keys. Listen, Jesus walked into the gaping jaws of the greatest enemy there is. On the cross, he let all the powers that threatened to undo us have their unrestrained way with him. He let death take him captive, and people said, he's finished, he's done, he's history. But then Jesus burst out of the prison of death, and he carried away the prison keys. He's got the keys. Fear is a powerful force. As we all know, fear can paralyze us. And today, if fear is doing that to you, Jesus is saying to you, stop being afraid. I have the keys. God gave John a vision of who Jesus is in the present. John turned and he saw Jesus, the great high priest, the one who bridged the chasm between God and humanity, the one who is enthroned above all other kings, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whose voice we should listen to above all other voices. The one whose words of truth can go deep into our soul, setting us free from that which entangles and binds us. The pure and sinless one who always existed, the Lord of the cosmos, whose kingdom is set on a strong, firm, unshakable foundation that will never, ever collapse. The one who burst out of the prison of death and carried away the prison keys, whose glory is like a sun shining in all its overwhelming brilliance. And that commanding, redeeming, glorious figure, whose dominion will not pass away, who has all authority, glory, and power, who will one day be worshipped by all, is here. Right now, in the middle of us, behind a very thin veil, things are not as they seem. Let's pray. Father, I pray that this vision will speak to us today. Father, today, in this time of chaos and confusion in which we live, may we fix our gaze on your risen Son. May we lift our eyes above our circumstances and above our fears and above our worries and above our problems, and may we fix our gaze on the risen Jesus. May we get the vision of who he is in the present. May we understand that he is here behind a very thin veil. And Jesus, I pray that you will do what you did for John, that you will give us the hope of knowing who you are. And I pray, God, that you would reach out and touch us where we need to be touched. Pour out your grace and your love and your hope and your peace on us. In Jesus' name.